96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, it is Tuesday, the 8th of June, 2021. You are tuned into Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. That means you're on the clock with Erin Green. I'm thinking of changing my name today. I think I'm going to be Erin, the Fruit Whisperer Green. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you why. I was sitting underneath my mango tree yesterday praying for a mango to drop, just not right on my head, because that's the most important part of the prayer. Okay, boys. And a mango dropped right in my hand. Like, right in my hand. So I am now officially the Fruit Whisperer, and I invite you to invite me to come to your yard and talk to your trees. I'm going to need absolute silence, because I don't need you to hear what I'm saying to these trees. You may get upset if you hear me telling the tree I love the tree more than you could ever love the tree. And that's why they're producing the fruit. Anyway, good yawning this morning. Kermit, that music is still licking in the background. Thank you, thank you. The jokes wasn't going to stop until that sweet music stopped. I love that music. I love that intro. Welcome to On the Clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Today's show is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. And just in case you forgot, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM is streaming live audio and video on guardiantalkradio.com. You can listen on TV on Cable Bahamas channel 969 or download the Guardian Radio app for your Apple or Android smart devices and listen to our audio feed or watch us on our video feed right there on the Guardian Radio app. You can also text us on the Guardian Radio 422-4796. That's powered by BTC. Standard text rates apply. You can also call into the show. Call us at 323-6232. That's 323-6232. Or 325-4316. Or 325-4259. This morning, I have a guest in studio along with my guest co-host, Mr. Darwin Thompson. Today, we are talking two things. We're going to start off the show with a bit of what's in the news. And then in the second part of the show, we are going into a segment about men's health with a local young influencer, entertainer, sort of media personality, Mr. P. Dylan Nixon.
Hey, everybody. How you doing? How you doing? Glad to be here this morning.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, I have introduced Mr. Nixon at this point in the show, so that if he feels compelled to engage some of the topics in the news, that you know who he is when he starts speaking. And to my guest co-host, Mr. Darwin Thompson, good morning.
Good morning, Bahamas.
Now look here, it's Men's Health Month. How are them women in that house treating you? Are you safe? Are they sharing the mangoes with you?
Oh, man, on my side, definitely.
You don't have to file no trade dispute.
No, not at all.
Twice if you need help.
Maybe once.
Okay, because I know...
She robbed me for that one.
Woman and fruits, the rules don't apply. So when I... If I'm giving the fruit to a friend, yeah, and the friend is married, you got to give them two fruit.
Fair.
You cannot give them one fruit.
You're right.
That's how you be a part of the community that supports a marriage. Trust me. See, y'all say gay people don't ain't into marriage. We love y'all and we support y'all marriage. Two fruit for married people. And if they have children, please, you got to give them so they could give one to the children and they could share one. Because children don't care about your feelings. You are an adult. You have been here many, many years. Daddy, you've been here 100 years. How you mean you ain't taste a mango yet? Why you have to eat mine? Right? So it's good to have you here this morning, Darwin.
Thank you.
Let's get sort of quickly into what's in the news. So I have to start the show by saying this. I am very upset at my listening audience. Nobody call in and tell me about the big joke Brayman crack on me yesterday. At the top of the show. See, I'm the one who's be cracking the jokes on people. But Brayman crack a big joke on me. Good morning, Brayman. How you doing? Brayman is a regular caller. And he has an intro that's very interesting. And it's changed over the last few weeks, right? Mm-hmm. And Brayman would say, you know, blessings and into this godly universe. And then he started saying into this dark universe, right? Mm-hmm. So anyway, yesterday I announced an event that I thought people should pay attention to. It is the 10th George Lamming Distinguished Lecture entitled The Spirit Workers, Intellectuals, Artists, and the Challenge of Independence in the Caribbean. And Brayman called in and asked me what I mean, what they mean by spirit workers. And here me trying to be sensitive, trying to be balanced, trying to sort of address the negative connotations that people may attach to spirit workers, but not speak negatively to a space that even I don't understand properly. This time, Brayman is cracking big joke on me. Brayman, every time you tell me good morning, you know, and from this dark universe, I realize you're talking about the dark matter in the universe. Because the truth is the universe is very dark. The majority of what composes or comprises the universe is dark matter. It ain't bad. It ain't evil. It's just something that we, in our human form, have a limited capacity to see or engage. Mm-hmm. It's there and it's real. It's sort of like the VAT money, right? The VAT money is there. But you, as a lowly Bahamian citizen, you don't have the capacity in this human form to see it. You must just trust it's there. Anyway, back to my point, right? Spirit workers are people who work in those dark spaces. It ain't this negative things we like to attach to Obey and witchcraft and oh my goodness, it ain't that. It is just that the universe is comprised of far more than we could understand. Mm-hmm. And spirit workers are people who delve into that space.
Right.
Now, some of the scientists I respect the most are the scientists that say, there's far more in the universe to learn that I could ever learn. Mm-hmm. There's far more to know that I could ever know or that I know now. Mm-hmm. And that whatever it is that we're studying has to be connected to some sort of higher power. Right? Right? They're the people who I trust the things they say too, right? Even scientists are spirit workers because they delve into the unknown, the dark, the things we can't see or can't understand or don't know sufficiently to define and bring out to the light for others to see, mm-hmm. right? And so I want to apologize to all of the people who are doing that work because, like, I faltered. I stumbled. I was a little shame. I don't know. I got to reflect on myself in those dark places. But more importantly, I want to say thank you to Brayman. Because you crack a whole joke on me, and I had to go home and get home and sit down and eat my lunch and take a nap. And I was at the point where my partner would say, go, look here, pee and go to bed. That's what you tell all bad children at night. And then it hit me what Brayman was saying.
Yeah.
Thank you, Brayman. Also, in the news this morning, mm-hmm. lockdown extended for Andrus and Cat Island.
Oh, Lord.
It's plenty. It's far too much for us to get into today, like right now, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Well, I have to ask this other question. You sort of touched it yesterday. Have we considered how a prohibition on crabbing for 2 years straight, or even any reduction, sort of like diminishing of the business space, the industry, how that will impact our culture, mm-hmm. our culinary culture, preservation culture, like of preservation of our history and culture. Mm-hmm. And so when I read the notice, and the notice said, in fact, residents of Andrews should note that under the most recent amendment to the order, harvesting of crabs is permitted, right? How did y'all let that slide? Y'all forget it the first time. How did you forget it the second time? Why did people have to incur fines for crabbing? Y'all, please, please pay more attention to the people that you serve. Which takes me to the front page of The Guardian below the fold. Henfield says government helped over 500 Bahamians abroad during pandemic. And I never thought that I would have to put Mr. Henfield on the list of people we need to talk to. But you misspelled, like you wrote it in, you said it incorrectly. You served over 500 Bahamians in the capacity that you were being paid to perform at. Like that's what your job is. Mm-hmm. You served them. You didn't help them. You should have had a plan in place so they didn't incur these barriers and issues that you then had to come and serve them with, right? You had to figure out what to do to provide the services that they're obligated to. We need to be careful. Dear texter, it is Andros, not Andrus. Boy, I almost... Dear texter, are you from Andrus? And do you currently live in Andrus? Do you live in Andros right now? Because you set me up. You want me to sound like a bougie QC person. So you could clearly say, Erin ain't from Andrus. She from Andros.
Oh, they spell it with an E.
No, they spell it with an O. They telling me I should say Andros. And they telling me, if you are from Andros, you could tell me that. Reclaim my Andros heritage. I'm from Fresh Creek. My paternal grandfather and grandmother, them. My maternal. Mm-hmm. The maternal ones. The other set from Acklands.
That means you could cook.
No. That means I could catch Chikchani. And I'm currently working on my certification for catching man. Anyway, back to the politics. Mr. Henfield, you are serving these people. You are not helping them. You can't put this on your resume. But look at the extra we did. We didn't need to do that, but we did it. No, please. In the same way, Minister Dames, inmates will not be left out of vaccine campaign.
Well, they're left out of everything else, right? So I guess saying this gives us some kind of, oh, that's so nice. No, it's not nice.
No, also, prisoners have the right to refuse the vaccine.
Exactly.
So what you also need to work on is a plan, a contingency plan, in case the prisoners say, I know that I'm here under your control, boss, but I don't have to take that vaccine if I don't want to.
Exactly.
Right? That's a big human rights concern. And then to the top of the fold, government ordered to stop demolitions. That's the Guardian.
Erin, I tell you, I'm so proud of that. I am so proud of that ruling. I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, man. No, tell me why.
Well, first of all, because those persons that are affected primarily by this issue, the children that Mr. Eldred Johnson would have said were used as pawns in some grand scheme.
Mm-hmm.
The primary ones to be affected by this issue now at least have an opportunity to not be disrupted in that way.
Yeah.
Granted, they haven't been disrupted, but at least now we have some kind of future to look forward to in regards to correcting this issue in the right ways,
right.
Hopefully.
Yeah. I am glad. Well, I don't want to say glad, right? Because then I feel like I attach in too much emotions to the court. I am pleased to see this ruling,
yes,
though, and the statements by the justice, right? The idea that you should come to the court first,
mm-hmm,
right? And say, hey, okay, so we doing this little knockdown house thing.
Right.
Today, we'd like to knock down houses number 4 and 5. And the court say, okay, bring all the paperwork. Mm-hmm. Let's triple check, right? That this is definitely a house that should be knocked down. Like, let's just check before we destroy these people's whole lives, right? I mean, that's not what the judge said. The judge just said, like, maybe you should come to the court before you knock the house down. I added all of that lovely decency and civility on the side there. But for something as important as this, right? This idea that people have a right to adequate housing. Mm-hmm. They have a right to place to live. And if you are born in a country and you are sort of stuck in that country, that you have a right to have some place to live. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, I think one of the basic things about this experience on the planet is if you are here, you have a right to a place to live. Mm-hmm. Right? And it has to be adequate.
Exactly.
It's just too much money floating around in this country for people to not have a place to live.
I feel that there's way too much people on Nassau. If we wanted everyone to have a place to live, we could actually carry other people out to the family islands where there's plenty of space. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of places to build homes. There's plenty. Homes for people who don't have enough money to do it, and then you can live off that island.
And I like the idea of communal and collective living, right? Like, yes, sort of temporary or transitional housing facilities and spaces where you are not necessarily responsible for a mortgage, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. There will be responsibilities, mm-hmm, to live there, like, right, whether there is a stipend that you have to pay or there is part-time employment on the compound available to support your living there, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. We are in the midst of a housing crisis. Yeah. And so on that note, I want to say congratulations to the DRA. Is that the Disaster Recovery Authority? Mm-hmm. Y'all got a new building. Is it a dome? Did you set up your new office in one of these domes that people who were displaced in Dorian have to live in if they can't afford anything else? Have you erected all of the domes before you moved into your new office space? Did you think about that, how that looked? Did you read the room and think about, and did you think about what you moving into a new office would mean to the people who are still waiting for their domes to be erected, although hurricane season 2021 has already started? Have you thought about that? Who's responsible for that? Bannister, Deputy Prime Minister, you responsible for that? I think you are. I think that you are. I had a couple more things in the news. Okay, the person, the texter said, I am from Blanket Sound, Andros. Well, dear sir or madam, I will call it Andros if you ask me to, because you're a little closer to it than I am right now. But I don't mean no diss or no why. All of us have slightly different accents. All of us have slightly different connections to the island. Even people on Andros talk different, mm-hmm, from settlement to settlement to settlement. But I ain't going to diss you. Thank you. Thank you very much. There's also two more things I want to mention before we go to a break and we get into the segment of the show. The road is still leaking on East Shirley Street by the gas station. Is still, I mean, it's just leaking. Unfortunately, it's not leaking enough for it to be like a water feature. Mm-hmm. For the MP of the area to say we've created a new water feature. But it's still leaking. And since we, the Bahamian people, owe somebody like $500 million for water, maybe somebody should come turn that leak off. Like, we would appreciate it. Yeah. But more to that, there's been a call for an increase in the MP's office budget. Mm. And I want MPs to ask themselves, is this really the time? Unless you are asking for an increase sufficient to create a temporary housing program in your constituency.
Right.
Grow program, a food grow program in your constituency, or a temporary employment program in your constituency. Tell me again what you need the extra money for. Are you going to run data centers where you run Wi-Fi for children who cannot work from home to do their distance learning, their virtual learning from there? Are you going to provide a solar battery charging station for community members mm-hmm. who cannot afford to keep their personal battery and charge up every day. Mm-hmm. Are you doing that with the money?
Right. Or even disaster risk reduction classes for the average payments in your community.
Wait, look here. I didn't even think of that. Guy's being a little petty. I was about to say, you can put up CCTV in your communities. Are you going to invest that money in cleaning the verges and the bushes and the abandoned properties so young girls and boys could walk through their community without fear of being pulled in the bush? Mm-hmm. And y'all know these people like to pull you in the bush. Mm-hmm. In fact, I could be honest with you, one boy told me he's going to pull me in the bush last week. And I ain't joking. Anyway, let's get back to these texts before... Oh, there you go. You are welcome, Ms. Green. Have a blessed day. Man, look here, I love my people from Andres. Also, I don't want you to not let me get back on the island. I don't want your family islanders to start considering your own island political strategies, right? I would hate for y'all to start seeing your autonomy as something, right? And then you start saying, oh no, people from Nassau have to pay the fee to come to the island because it's so expensive for people from the island to come to Nassau, right? Let's pray that y'all never do that to us here. Let's pray that they don't never stop sending the fruit from the family island. In fact, that's one of the things I wanted to talk about in Andres, Cat Island. There's a lot of farming going on. BAMSI is in Andres, right? Do the people who work in for BAMSI have exemptions so that they are able to tend their farms beyond the five to ten,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And is that unfair to other farmers? Is 4 hours sufficient for people to drive from settlement to check their fields? Mm-hmm. What happens when it's... How are we going to get the mangoes that fall after 10 a.m. in the morning?
Right.
Have you guys thought about what is required to run a country? Do y'all even think about the archipelagic exterior and what needs to take place in New Providence for the outside part of the country to run properly? Us Nassau-centric people, us bougie people, us narrow-minded, small-vision people, we have to begin practicing empathy and spatial awareness and mindfulness and critical thinking. Because it's not as if we're stupid. We're not stupid. We're just not thoughtful enough. That's it. That's it right there. Anyway, Kermit, now is a great time to go to a break. And then when we get back, let's talk some men's health. Not just because I'm interested in catching a man. Oh, boy. But it would be sweet if I could catch one. Kermit, be ready there for that break? It would be sweet if I could catch one. I got farming to do. I got construction to do. I got fishing to do. I want poetry, I want novels, I want entertainment. These man good for something, you know. Anyway, stay tuned to 96.9 FM Radio. We will be right back after this break.
I've been representing all my life. I'm getting ready to make it count this time. Since it's 2021 for your family line, you better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family. Go round the 242. The count depends on you. So tell Tita, go tell Bella. Mark it down on your calendar. Since it's 2021, this one's for everyone.
So how does COVID-19 contact tracing work? Public health officials first identify who has COVID-19. This person is considered a positive COVID-19 case and is asked about the individuals with whom they were in contact. These individuals are called contacts. It is important that persons who have tested positive for COVID-19 be honest with the healthcare providers so that they can effectively do their jobs. The health officials call the contacts and explain that they were exposed to COVID-19 through an infected person. The contact is informed of the necessary steps. Steps include self-quarantine for 14 days, do not allow visitors, answer the phone when health officials call to assess daily, and inform them of symptoms if they develop. At the end of the 14 days, no testing is needed unless symptoms are present. Let's do our part to prevent the spread of COVID-19.
This message has been brought to you by Bahamas Ministry of Health in conjunction with Guardian Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. You tuned into 96.9 FM Guardian Radio. And my guest today is P. Dylan Nixon. And my guest co-host is Mr. Miguel Darwin Thompson. I just got a brief message from the Ministry of Finance before we get into this segment of the show. Let's pause for a financial minute. Did you know the new Statistics Act 2021 seeks to establish a national Institute of Statistics that follows international best practices for the collection, analysis, and use of data for public and private policy decisions. This new law comes into effect July 1st, 2021. This financial minute has been brought to you by the Ministry of Finance. Welcome back to the show. Now that I put on my community announcements hat, Mr. Thompson.
Yeah, so I just wanted to make mention of a few names. Mr. Matthew Sewell, Mr. Joseph Amiher, Douglas Enyumi, as Mr. Aiton Takitota. These were all migrants that have been locked in the Department of Corrections
Detention Center,
they call it, whatever they call it, for a period of over 5+ years. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to make mention of these names, and I think that these names should be etched in our memory for future generations because it is a great injustice that was done to these men.
Look here. The country that is led by Sir Lyndon Pinlan that went into the Chogum 1985, mm-hmm. meet him, that's the heads, Commonwealth heads of government meeting,
right.
in 1985, and tell them by them, look here, I don't know if y'all could have any bail until we deal with this South Africa problem. Mm-hmm. Like, I sure, Pinlan, look at them by them and say, I see y'all been here for about 4 or 5 days now.
Yeah.
I see you like the place. Mm-hmm. No Kong salad for you. No rake and scrape for you. No Bacardi for you. Until we deal with what's going on in South Africa. It is a disgrace mm-hmm. for the country that was led by those people, those men and women at that time, mm-hmm. to now sit here and sit back in silence as the lives of people. Mm-hmm. Don't mind the race or
right.
ethnicity.
Right.
Any people.
Anybody.
Mm-hmm. Would be treated in that manner.
And it's just amazing that the Minister of Immigration was once a human rights activist. But we'll move on.
Yeah. Because soon Mr. Johnson will also be on my list of people who we have to ask. Resign, retire, or fire. Anyway, I got another text here. Good morning, Ms. Green. I don't want the government to use the court order as an excuse to stop demolishing those houses that they deem were unlawfully built after Hurricane Dorian to court before acting. Okay. I'm going to say this, and it's going to sound a bit unorthodox. Somebody was saying that, like, only roughly 70 people died in Hurricane Dorian. Somebody was saying that. I think it was the government. I'm not sure. Because it sounded so ridiculous at the time mm-hmm. that I couldn't really take it in.
Oh, was Health Minister Dwayne Sands?
No, his number was slightly higher.
Right.
Yeah, his was higher than that.
Right.
Which is a good number. So okay. It's only 70 people. Listen, you want to talk about things that are unlawful after Dorian? That's what y'all want to talk about? Y'all want to talk about what is unlawful after the way that we treated the people who survived and didn't survive Dorian? And by when I say the people who, how we treated the people who didn't survive, their memory, mm-hmm. their legacy, mm-hmm. their name. I don't even know if we've even attempted to document the names in any public fashion.
Yes. And keeping in mind also that those persons were here as a result of Bahamian necessity. We needed them because they were here to work, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we provide the work permits and we bring them in and we say, but y'all need to go home, son, what you doing here? But then they work in for us for cheap, for almost little to nothing.
Because we love capitalism. We love it so much we can let it kill other people and then refuse
to help them,
to count their name or help them. Mm-hmm. That's a vibe. So I'm not saying just break the law.
Right.
I'm just saying maybe we should reconsider what is lawful and what is unlawful. Another text. Great as usual. A lot of farming is go on, and Andrus is correct. But which farming are we talking about, if you know what I mean? You is somebody farming men in Andrus? Who got a permit to farm man before I got a permit to farm man? Text goes on to say, you want to check a man, Bill Gates, available. You better catch him before one junglist from Bainetown get him. First of all, if a young woman that grew up in a concrete jungle, a slightly Bahamian concrete jungle like Bainetown, could catch Bill Gates, well, good on her. I am out here talking about I could catch Chicchanis.
So,
young lady, if you want to catch Bill Gates, you go live your best life. Don't let these people be out here. Y'all don't be demeaning these women. One day we can talk about what the term junglist means and where it came from. Mm-hmm. Okay, caller coming to the line. Caller, you on the clock?
Yes. Good morning, Aaron. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How you do?
I'm good, and good morning to your guests. Aaron, I'll send you this morning. I'm from Albuquerque.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I've had a situation where I tried to add on to my house and Ministry of Works. I didn't have a permit. They come broke it down.
Uh-huh.
I still think I'm a good Catholic, and I believe that we should be fair and honest and treat people in a humane manner. But at the same time, if this country has laws, us as Bahamians can't go build anywhere, any kind of house, any kind of way.
Okay, pause right there.
Because we can't get away with it.
Pause right there. You and I are just not the type of Bahamian who could do that. See, I want us to acknowledge this. I'm not saying that the people aren't breaking the laws that are on the books, right? I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that Bahamians aren't being penalized for doing the same thing that's going on here. Here's what I'm saying. Bahamians, you really have to work hard to convince me that Bahamians care about the law. You have to work very, very hard to convince me that that Bahamians care about it. You have to work hard to convince me that the government cares about it. We can't even we talk about code. We can't get the building, the government to remove the mold from their own buildings. We can't get them to set up the thermostat properly so the buildings wouldn't stop deteriorating in every 10 years. What I'm trying to tell you is this, is that we supposed to be mad at the government. The government is swinging us. They playing us against each other.
Karen?
You should, listen. You heard what the boys say on the radio yesterday? They applied for their permit to march May 4th. And on June 3rd, the people call them and tell them no.
Mm-hmm.
We have this thing where the government will penalize people versus spending the resources necessary to ensure that the people could do what they need to do or want to do according to the rules that are already laid out. Mm-hmm. So people are waiting for permits, you know. People are trying to do it the right way. I spent 3 years straight calling cabinet office to tell them that the phone system at Batelco ain't working. The phone system at BPL, BEC ain't working. The phone system at this government ministry ain't working. 3 years straight, to the point where everybody who pick up that main phone know my name and they think I think I'm some kind of big shot. Nothing works in this country. And I'm not saying, I'm not directing this at you, but it's going to take a lot of work to convince me that we care about
My thing is only, Aaron, if we have laws in the country, okay? If we do have laws. You know, I've seen some of my Haitian brothers and sisters, they go all over the world. They don't know. I don't even think they build, just go and build anywhere in
Haiti. Let me ask you a question. Where else in this region was your light bill the same as your mortgage or your rent for over 20 years.
Yeah, but that's no excuse for breaking the law.
No, that is an excuse for breaking the law. It is an excuse for breaking the law. Your power bill was more than or the same as your mortgage. That's like usury. That should have never happened.
I experienced that. My power bill most of the time has been, sometimes even from my business, has been extremely, well, even for the house, has been just as much or more than my mortgage. I've pretty much experienced. I'm just saying, if we have laws on the books, and we have to follow them.
I agree.
I'm saying you can't. We can't discount that there is a law by allowing, and then by going to the courts and the courts making this decision, then the Bahamas might as well don't have laws.
Caller, remember the names that I called earlier: Matthew Sewell, Aiton Takitota, Joseph Amihea, and Douglas Enyumi. Those were migrants whose rights were infringed upon, and the law in that case. I've yet to see anybody talk about the law in that case. Nobody. Nobody is calling in to say that was wrong. That was terribly wrong. And we need to do right by these people. Nobody's calling
right.
about that.
So we're not saying that this wholesale everybody break the law. That's right. Not what we're saying. What I'm saying is I agree with you. We need to solve the situation. We need to ensure that the law is applied evenly and equally, mm-hmm. right? But before we even get there, you still have to convince me that the vast majority of us actually care about. Caller on the clock. Caller, you on the clock?
Yes, good morning. On the clock. How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Wonderful. Your question just now about whether folks care. Okay. The government that is in office, they represent us, mm-hmm. okay? And matter of fact, they should. But here it is, the impression that I get is that the last thing that they would assist or be concerned of is about us, okay? Mm-hmm. Because here it is, you just said that May 4th was the applications for the parade. They didn't answer it until the 3rd of June. That's one effort of being not concerned about us. Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. and going back to Ragged Island, I've been calling in to talk shows from Hurricane Irma. Okay, that's like 4 years now, and Ragged Island is just getting attention from the Honorable Prime Minister. He mentioned the name of Ragged Island 5 times inside his opening debate for this budget that is going on. He just begin to think about it.
But look here, that sounds like a horror movie to me. If he say it a sixth time, Ragged Island could disappear. Don't
exactly.
let him say it again.
Exactly. And one more example of not being concerned or us being the last thing that they're concerned about is, for example, a piece of paper from Land and Survey and telling me this Crown land is mine. Okay? And then Royal Caribbean comes along, shows interest in it, and then you takes it away from me, the Bahamian, mm-hmm. okay, okay, and you gives it to them. That is, blatantly, Crown land, that's entrusted to you to look out for us, okay, man. That is so blatant and so wrong. I'm not making this up, because Toby Smith is the example.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yes,
he is Conky Joe, and yes, I am a black man from the inner city, but he is a Bahamian.
Yeah.
Okay, if you can do it to Toby Smith, okay, you're the prime minister, that's in your office, okay, the buck stops with you, and
all
here
right.
it is, you takes it away from him and give it to a conglomerate, for what good reason,
yeah.
okay? Okay, that's just an example for me saying, we are the last that they think about, and now you come to my gate, okay, with 40-something people asking me to vote for you again. What type of stupid you think I am? Anyway, thank you for letting me share.
Absolutely, sir. Absolutely. Yeah. And so let me repeat, I am not encouraged. Do I need to encourage anybody to break the law? I think not. Also, I want y'all who pause for a second and saying, oh, no, we serious about the law. Open your eyes when you're on the road and look at how people are driving. Assess your own driving behavior and tell me seriously, do you care about the laws? Mm-hmm. Do you really? I think not.
Some people don't even know that you run the red light once you pass the white stripe in the road delineating where to stop. Some people don't know that. You can get ticketed for running the
light. Right, because you're in the intersection. It's not exactly. Running the light. You're in the intersection.
Exactly.
And you're on the pedestrian zone.
Right.
You're in the pedestrian zone where the people who cannot afford a car have to walk. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, I don't think we really, really care about breaking the law. We got one more caller. Caller, you're on the clock. On the clock. On the clock. Caller, you still there? I got another caller. Caller, you're on the clock.
Hello.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Hi, good morning. It's Berenice Johnson. I hope you all don't disconnect me, seeing that you spoke about the spiritual and the doctors of the universe.
No. Now, listen, Berenice. I was pointing out how Brayman cracked a joke on me and how I missed the play between the dark universe and the spirit workers. That's all. You still there? Berenice, I didn't do that either. Don't mind me. I in here like a chicken clucking, but I didn't do that. Couple more texts. Good morning. I agree with the last caller. All illegally built structures should be torn down. I had to pay an architect for a boundary wall and pay for a permit to build it. I am a taxpaying Bahamian who obeys the law. The Bahamas is a real place. Maybe you are not a real person. I question a lot of the people around me. Your caller asked what type of stupid I have. The answer, a special type of stupid. Some people in Nassau got their driver's license out the Cracker Jack box. A number of people in New Providence didn't get a test at all. They just paid for it.
Order from Amazon or something.
And those people taught their children how to drive. Mm.
Yeah.
Or worse, the children learned how to drive by watching them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one thing is work in Nassau is them holes in the road. Yes, they do. That's to stop you from getting distracted on your phone. Mm-hmm. It's a new plan. If Abaco experiences another Category 5 hurricane, God forbid, who will be blamed for the deaths in the shanty towns this time? Residents of the Mud and Pigeon Peas should not have even been there in Dorian. Dear Texter, I'm not sure what you're trying to say, but guess who is responsible for the people being in the mud and the peas? The Minister of Works, Mr. Desmond Bannister. So we're going to just shift the blame right onto him. One more text. Morning, you. Are you attracted to a male for a relationship?
We told you to be careful talking about my...
These young men in here warned me in the audience. They warned me about this catching man talk. Dear sir, is that a petition? Is that an invitation to inquire further? But I'm going to be honest with you. According to the laws of CARICOM and the laws of the Bahamas, I have to declare upfront what I want a man for. Heartache and pain. Hard work and strain. And plenty money to gain. That is not a spell, Brayman. Anyway, I want to apologize to my guest, Mr. P. Dillon. I want to have a series of discussions about men's health.
Yes.
This shantytown story popped up this morning, and it brought a lot of excitement into the airwaves. And I got to strike balance, you know, between the listening audience and what I want to talk about and the guests I invite to the show. But I'm inviting you back tomorrow, right? Yeah. So we could engage this conversation. I got gas money. so we could engage this conversation. But before we go, let's sort of give the audience a sense of why I invited you here today. So Mr. Dillon, Mr. P. Dillon Nixon, is one of two men that I've seen in the last week alone highlight that June is Men's Health Month. And he raised the question, you know, whether people were willing to talk about men's health, and B, whether people who had the capacity were willing to facilitate conversations about men's health. And so when I heard that, I jumped right on board when I heard him, because the second person is a family member, right? And I intend to have him on as well to have this discussion. But like, you know, two men right in my face. And I really felt called to create a space to talk about men's health. June is, like, U.S. In America, June is Men's Health Month. Mm-hmm. And while Men's Health Month normally focuses on physical health, like communicable diseases, your blood pressure, your weight, stress factors like that, today and tomorrow, I want to talk about some of the issues that we don't normally address when we talk about men's health. And so the first question is, what do you think need more attention?
Mental health. Mental health controls all other forms of health in the man. Once you have a clear mind,
yeah,
you will focus on your body. You will say, all right, I got to eat right. I can exercise because I have a clear mind. I can get that done. Then your physical and your sexual health, that'll come along with it. You don't have nothing on your mind, you know, everything working proper and all the rest of that other stuff. Once you have a clear mind in your head, your mental head good, everything else will fall in line.
All right, so how do we get men to prioritize their emotional, mental, and psychological health? Like, how do we get the individual man to focus on himself, and how do we get men to focus on collective men's health?
First thing we have to do is get men to understand that there's a problem. Because growing up, men are always told, all right, men don't cry. Men have to be strong. Men have to do this. Men have to provide. You can't show emotion as a man. Every young man grow up thinking that. And as we grow older, we push all our emotions down. So we have to be told it's okay to cry. It's okay to feel emotion. It's okay to tell people how you feel. Once we get in that form of thinking, then it'll help.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so what are some of the barriers to treatment or therapy for young men and boys?
You have to get rid of the stigma that therapy for crazy people. Because yeah, it really ain't. It's for people that have trauma. Growing up, everyone gains trauma. I have so much trauma in my life when I was growing up.
Yeah.
We need hours to talk about it.
But let's just briefly touch on some of those things, because we don't realize what is traumatic and what is not traumatic, right?
Yes.
So, like, seeing a parent slap or physically assault another parent, or even cuss harshly at another parent.
Yeah. Yes. As a child, I lost my father at the age of one. Yeah. So I saw my mother work hard. She distanced herself so she could be able to actually provide for us. And as a child, I saw that distance as, you know, my mother doesn't want anything to do with me, but that's only because of my child, I think. And growing up now, I understand she was working hard to get us what we need, because when I was young, I was going away every summer. She worked hard for that, you know what I mean? But, like, me seeing that is me thinking, all right, my mother don't want anything to do with me. That's the trauma in life. Now I have no parents and I got to raise myself. That's how men as little boys think sometimes. Mm-hmm. And then I had an older sister, you know, the whole sister dynamic and stuff like that. She was coming down to me. I actually had a cousin one time say, it's my fault that my father died. And, like, at the age of 4 was my first suicide attempt.
Wow.
Yeah, so growing up, men go through a lot of trauma. Women go through trauma too. Bypassing that, but you know. Yeah.
So look here, we got a couple more minutes. And there were some things, because I thought about boys and their relationship with their mothers and sort of the spaces that trauma can happen, right? Or trauma is not addressed. And one of the things I thought about is when mothers project the hostility they have for the father onto the boy child.
Yes, that happens a lot. I actually have a friend that went through that growing up, especially because he looked so much like him, and his father was a player. Let me say that. He has like 30 children right now. But she projected out upon him, and she pushed him hard. She pushed him hard. You have to do this. You have to do that. We had to, when I hanged out with him and I slept over, we had to wake up 5 a.m. and just us two cleaning the house. Like, that's how hard she put it in. You know, he was a failure. Like, all those things stole upon him.
So I just have a quick question, Pete Dillon.
Yeah.
Do you feel that pushing, that strenuous and almost tumultuous relationship developed between the mother and the child in that relationship also contributes to this societal norm of men being this sort of crux for single mothers and single women that, that has to hold up. Obviously, men have a part to play in that, in mm-hmm. that dynamic. But where does the child then fall into this dynamic? And how do we stay away from this issue as a whole, as a society? Because it's a societal issue.
It's a tough question because a lot of different dynamics come into that play of it. Because, you know, sometimes there are real deadbeat dads that say, well, I don't want nothing to do with this child and stuff like that. And then the mothers still have it and all the rest of the stuff. But we can't push our children so hard like how our parents pushed us back in the day. The world has changed. The world has definitely changed. It's easier to get information. You can't just see a child on the internet all day and think he ain't doing anything. He learning. That's how we learn nowadays. The internet teaching us and stuff like that. Now back in the day, you have to go to the library to learn stuff. You know what I mean? We learning now. You don't have to push us so hard.
Right. Absolutely. I get a text here for you. Mm-hmm. Ask your guest, how could we as men have a clear mind when these Nassau women are biggity, especially the set that are 5'2"? Oh. Now, first of all, that's a whole bunch of misnomers and myths and stereotypes and almost a slur. It's almost a slur in their texter, right? Yeah. But I tell you what, to my texter, I do have a question that we're going to tackle tomorrow, right? And it's a very broad question. I found this question on Facebook last said, why are men taught how to treat women, but women aren't taught how to treat men? Pause. There are 1,000 women laughing right now. Wait, they just fell off their chair. So tomorrow we're going to delve into that question. We're going to answer some more, ask and answer some more questions about men's mental health, men's psychological and emotional health. And I think a lot of this is going to center around men's relationships, right? With women and with men, and how that helps to move them forward. And so as we end the show, I want to say to Pumpkin Eater, who asked me why I was teasing up everybody about the fruits yesterday. First of all, let me show you something. Coca-Cola is the most popular soda in the world, and they still advertising. They still spending millions and millions of dollars. And they on your TV. And when you wake up in the morning and you think about what you're going to drink, a Coca-Cola is one of the options that comes through your mind, even if you say, nah, no Coke. So I talk about fruit because it's marketing. It's the only way we're going to preserve our culture of appreciation for fruit if we prioritize it by filling the spaces that are ours with the things that we think are important to us. That's how we have to do it. Now, don't mind me talking about man all the time. That's a totally different situation. But join us tomorrow on 96.9 FM and On the Clock, where we continue this conversation with Mr. P. Dillon. It's available to talk about men's health month and the status of men in our country. It's been a wonderful day talking with you, sharing with you guys, and laughing in the studio. I hope to see you tomorrow. And to you, my audience, the very same thing. I hope to see you tomorrow, tuned in to 96.9 FM.